Blog Talk Radio.
I and I will stand up and fight for all rights. I and I will find a way to survive. Not an easy way out, easy way out. Fighting to be free. It's not an easy way out, easy way out. Trapped in society. It's not an easy way. Troubled world, yes I know, the signs of the times, yes it shows, see corruption as it grows, when will it end, only Jah Jah knows, and so much injustice, we gotta fight it, good over evil must prevail. Wisdom is too much for a fool, cause we've got the knowledge, a way which you mold them. Jah is in control.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They are big words. We don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. We don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. Of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in confrontation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Yeah. Oh. Entertainment.
Worldwide.
Network.
Network.
We on live.
We in your speakers.
And
on your mind.
On your mind.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Ray. I'm on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peace, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB. Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy Size Money.
This your boy Big Chad Domingo.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy J Futuristic.
This your folk Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end, getting blessings. Wise Life Records, and you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrown busted into the national spotlight, proceeding over James Earl's last appeal for Ray's conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, and the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiana Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service, how to meet and network with people in other cities, how to make connections with other business owners, and how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor John Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor John Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Work. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Once again, it's a Sunday night, and we're at the Ethiopian World Federation, Commerce Incorporated, Local 26, the Women Auxiliary, and your host is always Sadie Gomez, the lovely Sadie Gomez. But tonight we got a special, special guest host, the man himself that created it all, Dr. James W. Winborn. Give him a nice hand and bring him on. Come on, y'all. I'm getting slow here. Technology.
You know, your clapping people make me feel unloved sometimes. Like they got to be trying to decide whether they want to clap for me or not.
They trying to retire. They said the money ain't that good.
Oh, man. So I don't know about hosting, but I wanted to call in. We don't know where the host is, but we have this time. And, you know, there's so much that's going on in the Federation, and there's so much going on all around the world. I figured we could still use this time since I had a little bit of time. I don't know how long, but we could talk about some things and put some stuff out there. You know, number one, we want to say congratulations to you as the new first vice president of our international.
Give it up. Give it up.
Yeah. 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 They're on time for you.
No pain, no gain.
Congratulations
y'all
to that.
Up there.
We got we got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, and sometimes I just get so frustrated. By
and don't forget now, we have to give it up to you consecutively for the last 4 or 5 decades. You've been president. Let's give it up.
Yeah, man, this is,
Hey, listen, Donald Trump, you can learn something from him.
Yeah, this is my sixth term, you know, we,
Donald Trump can learn something from you.
You
better
you
stop
playing saying?
Around.
But, you know, one thing I could be happy for is that for the limited time we've been here since 2019, we've been able to continue to move forward. We've been able to continue to build. Not one scandal, not one whodunit, not one. All only things, you know, we're still working on getting everybody together. And so we're happy even for the work, the accomplishments that we see that are happening and those that are becoming more and more engaged. So we're excited about all of that. We're excited about the future of what the future has for the Ethiopian World Federation and for local number 26, if we cannot forget, as we, as a local, forget it on the international level, but as a local, we continue to grow and get ourselves together and be the official representation for the Federation here in Harlem. You know, so when you say the Ethiopian World Federation, you automatically think of Local 26 as, you know, as this historic Harlem local. We want to get back to that and continue to build, continue to come together. We hit the ground running real fast, real smooth. We went into the convention, so that slowed our pace down just a little bit. But we want to get back on top of it, back on top of our constitutional classes, back on top of our Sunday night women's auxiliary, back on top of our family unity. All of those things that we were doing with Local 26, we want to continue to get back on it, continue to do everything that we've been doing. And vacation time is over. Convention is over. Time to go back to work. And so it looked like we still got people on vacation. A lot of the gang getting back. But it's important that we stay focused. Why? Because you know what? Listen, you know what? It's gotten so bad now that I don't even want to look at TikTok. I don't want to look at Facebook. Because I see all of these videos of all of this police brutality. It becomes sickening. Almost, I got to stop watching it just to protect my own energy. Because to look and see what our people are going through, the struggles that we're having as a people, how we're being slaughtered in the street as a people, as black men and women. Our laws have gotten to the point now where they can walk up to your car because you got a light out or because a simple traffic stop, pull you out of the car and put you in handcuffs, detain you for their safety. Well, if you wanted to be safe, why couldn't I just stay in the car? Listen, it has gotten that bad. It's a point of escalation. And we have got to be able to do something about it. Now, I don't think nobody's ready. I know that I'm not ready to grab a gun to go out and start shooting, but I tell you what, if I had to, I will. Because, listen, Armageddon has begun, so we really, really need to prepare ourselves and really, really sit back and equate what we're doing and how we're doing it. Look at our surroundings and look at what's going on. Look and see if we are fighting against our enemies or are we just fighting amongst each other. You know, that's what we got to be so careful of. When I see these things that's going on, it just hurts my heart. I become enraged by some of the way that I see these white police officers treating our people.
Right.
And I keep wondering to myself, when are we going to say enough is enough? You know, when are we going to say that marching is not going to do it anymore? We've been marching and marching, but we're still dying. We suffer police brutality while protesting police brutality. What the heck? We have a Black Lives Matter movement. The police have a Blue Lives Matter. What the heck? They're telling you they're on the other side that is black against the blue. These are the times we're living in. And we're busy fighting each over where this one come from, who that one. Oh, my God. If it wasn't for the fact that we are divinely ordained and anointed by God to be the people who we are, we would have long been gone. Because in all that anointing and all that specialty that we have been so brainwashed right now. And it hasn't always been like that, but right now, we have been so brainwashed by our colonizers that it has got us suspecting each other. Every little thing, we're ready to point the finger. Every little thing, we're ready to look at it from the worst possible scenario. Why? Satisfy something you got in you to make you feel as though, well, at least I'm not like so-and-so or so-and-so. It's pathetic. And we got to do something about it. And we got to keep going. So we're doing stuff. And we're coming together. But we got to, you know, keep working at it and keep working at it and keep working at it till we get it right.
Exactly. Well, you know, people can't see this, you know, it's so, like you say, it's so overt. And the racism is so clear, You know, 51% of the population of America, 70-something million, half of the white population is supportive of Trump, and they're supportive of the insurrection. They're supportive of annihilation of certain groups of people, black and brown people, minorities, so-called minorities. It's a continuous fight to stay alive, continuous fight to hold a job. And the stats, people, the stats, the socioeconomic stats are horrible for black people compared to white people. That's a
right.
good sign of what's happening in your country. When you look at the economy, you look at the disparities between the economy. Now, African Americans contribute the largest portion to the GDP, $2.1 trillion. This is well known, is documented in government statistics and data. And we are the last to get hired, the first to get fired. We are in economic depravity. The families of white people who are uneducated, don't have a high school diploma, can make $20,000 more than a black person with a college degree. That tells a lot. Black people sell their homes. They have to sell them at 35 to 40% different than market value. They're not getting market value. It's been so explicit. I'm sure everybody heard about the couple was selling their $1.2 million home, and they was only offered $850,000. The next door neighbor, who was white, she was offered $1.9 million for hers. Same home, same everything, exactly the same. In the same neighborhood, and then when they took the white woman and she pretended that their home was her home, they were offered $2.1 million for the home. So you can see the disparities in the economics. It's not like it's done by osmosis. It's done directly.
Right. It's systematic. A systemic, how they say.
Exactly. That's why I said,
it's automatic.
I don't care. I don't care about these white people out here that, I would say to myself, you're going to have haters. Whatever you do, you're going to have haters. If your shoes are better shoes than the next guy, he might hate you. If your wife is prettier than the next guy, he might hate you. So you're always going to have haters. So these crackers out here talking about nigga this and nigga that, I ain't worrying about them. I'm worrying about a government. Government policy that's directly offensive to the survival of African American people. And trust me, they're only attacking African American people. Every time you look at and like Dr. Wimborne said, I hate looking at these YouTube. You got these white guys going out there, and all they know is African Americans. African Americans, stop killing the cops. African Americans, stop stealing. African Americans, stop being an alcoholic and drug addict. God, the statistics of social ill is all on white people. They're the largest criminals. They're the largest alcoholic and drug addicts. They're the largest homeless. They're the largest on welfare. But they keep driving this narrative. And my thing to them, what the hell are you talking about? Are you saying if African Americans just leave America, America would be less economically deprived, it would be a better conditions, it won't have so much social ills? Hell no. We have to challenge these people, and I don't hear nobody challenging them, because you ain't going to get on social media and on a stage and just start spewing all kind of bullshit about African American people without giving me some statistics and some facts. Now, the little girl, right. little white girl was in this group, and the man kept saying African Americans are stealing. They're plundering stores and they're robbing stores and they're robbing people and they're committing crime. If they could only stop committing crime. So she went to her cell phone and she got the statistics on crime. 4 million crimes a year is committed by white people. 1 million crimes a year is committed by black people. Now, he said to her,
in defense of what he was trying to spew out, he said, well, you just proved my fact. Because we're 68% of the population, and they're 13%. So when you do the mathematics, bullshit, mister. White people never get to go to jail. They never get to see the judge. They never put in, they're never booked and put into the system. So statistically, you're not going to find a large number of black people. But 4 million is enough. But don't give me this bullshit about your crime is sweeter than my crime. Crime is crime. And like the white girls say, y'all commit 4 million crimes a year. That's something to look at. Why are you not looking at your people? Why can't you come to the table and talk about, if you're really trying to change the conditions of America, you talk about the whole picture, not just pick on one person, because that's nothing but a damn bully. That's what bullies do. They find one person that everybody hates, and they pick on that person and use them as an example to cover up their bullshit, to cover up their insecurities and their problems.
Right.
And that's what
all
white people have been doing for years, you know. And it's ridiculous that nobody ever counted these fools. You know, how in the hell you going to get on, you going to go to a university and have a conversation with university or college students, and they're not going to ask you, what is your facts? See, the first thing I'm going to ask, I'm going to say, listen, sir, are you telling me that if African-Americans just leave America, tomorrow America would be crime-free? They would have better statistics. There would be no welfare recipients, no alcoholics, no drug addicts. Because if that's the case, you people are the largest. So what you really should be doing is focusing on your community, getting dumb people to get how many years we can pull up pictures of white people that walk into churches, walk into malls, walk into schools, walking down the street and just shoot every damn body for no damn reason other than the fact that they're psychologically ill and they're social misfits. That's the only reason. Nobody talks about that. If they will spend their time on their crazy ass kids and their crazy people, stopping them from killing everybody, I'm sure crime would go down. But on the flip side, there are YouTubers, white YouTubers are saying, if you want to curtail crime in America, start arresting white people. There's white people saying this because they're
right.
Victims of the crime, because FBI statistics say 79 to 83% of all crimes are committed in the same ethnicity, the same culture. So the Italians are attacking the Italians, the Irish are attacking the Irish. Most of the time, more crime is committed amongst the same ethnic groups, amongst themselves. Black people is not the poster child for crime in America. It is simplistically
right.
Understand that if you live in an Irish neighborhood,
you commit crime where you at. Where you live at. So if you
exactly.
Live around, you obviously live around Irish people, you got to be doing petty crimes, that's who was around. But you're right. They don't
all right.
Report it.
I worked in the hospital for years, and this guy was always talking about crime. I said, oh shit, he wouldn't come up with something about black people. I don't want to hear it. He said, Ron, you know, this da da da. And then I found out, he said, no. He said, the kids in my neighborhood. You know, Italian guy. He's a kid in my neighborhood. They're off the chain. They're criminals. But their father is connected to a judge. Their mother is a cousin of the police chief. You know, they got some resource that keeps them from going to jail. So when he filed cases against these kids, their parents have people in the court and in the police precincts that will settle their cases out of the judicial system. So they do not get any kind of juvenile record. They don't get no criminal record. Our kids steal a popsicle and it becomes a high criminal profile. They're taking them to court. They're booking them. I got sick in my stomach when this little boy, for a damn quarter in school, and the teacher allowed the cops to put him in handcuffs. He was crying. I would have caught a case on that day. I would have caught a case. Ain't my child, but I would have caught a case. Because this child, mother and father, should have been contacted. The kid is five, six years old. You mean to tell me you grown-ass people got no kind of heart? You should have contacted his mother and father first and let them be present before anybody talks to him. But this is what they do to our children.
And we allow them this bullshit. They're taking advantage of children. I've seen so many kids on YouTube. Thank God for YouTube, because this is the only way you get to see these things in real time. I've seen so many little kids, 6, 7 years, 9 years old, cop them up. We're going to teach them a lesson. We're going to put them in handcuffs for hitting another kid. People, that's causing traumatic mental conditions in our children. We got to consider the conditions that they're putting our kids in. We have to consider the social ills that can be created from that. Okay, a child can grow up hating officers, hating a whole bunch of stuff, and just get to the point of no return and do whatever he does. I know I was beat up by cops when I was young, and I just thought of getting a gun and shooting every goddamn cop I saw. You know, thank God, you know, I found Jesus. Thank God I found Jesus around the corner. But you know, but I'm just saying, you know something? We're not considering that. We're not considering the mental illness that these things can cause to our children and our young people and our communities.
Wait, though. See, here's where I'm at. I think they have considered it. They know that it's traumatizing. They are purposely, intentionally trying to traumatize that kid. I saw another a video just today where, man, a big old cop messing with a little boy. He couldn't have been no more than about 7 or 8. And the adult had to come up and, like, leave that telecom, leave that man alone. Let that child alone, go get his parents. He telling the little boy, go ahead. And the cops still trying to intimidate the child. They doing it on purpose. It's part of the attack.
Now,
I don't care what nobody says.
Now, you and I know, there are neighborhoods where cops ain't going to go in the black community.
Right.
There are parts of Los Angeles they not going to go because them brothers don't give a damn. There's parts of Harlem in New York, they're not going to go. Parts of Brooklyn, parts of Texas. There's parts where them gangs, them real crazy gang, them brothers that like Tupac Shakur said in Menace to Society, the worst enemy of America is a young black man who don't give a damn. And they know these young black men that finally got to the point of no return, they're not going to mess with them. These guys that don't been in jail for 100 times and don't give a damn and got arms bigger than their head that will beat the hell out of them, because I've seen videos as well where cops say, you know, where guys say to these cops, you know, come fuck with me over here. I'll beat you up. And they don't mess with those guys because they don't care about dying, and they're a threat to them. But I think what happens in a lot of cases too, they take their revenge out on the weak. Women, pregnant women, seen cops, it was a white woman, but, you know, and I'm sure it was a black woman at one time as well, but I saw a white woman, cop kicked her. She's pregnant. Kicked her in the stomach. White woman. So, and I see them now, they're attacking a lot of white people. So it is what it is. But white people get more, but nevertheless, white people get more of a chance. Because I seen a guy run over a cop with a motorcycle. Could a cop standing in front of the motorcycle talking to him for millions of hours, and the guy got frustrated, and he just ran over the cop and pushed the cop into the highway and just ran over him and kept going, you know, because they get too many chances. But I'm saying the conditions that we're living under is so vile, because the police officers, they're worse. I'd rather deal with a crackhead on the corner than to deal with them. They're worse than the worst gang I've ever seen in my life. At least I know.
In the community, we need protection from the police. Okay?
Exactly.
We need protection from the police. And everybody know it. That's why white people call the police, because they know on black people, no matter what it is, no matter how insignificant, because they all know that the police come and see the black person, it is automatically going to be escalated. They know this. All right, so again, none of this is by accident. I mean, if we just look at them over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And here's the thing. If we're seeing it, that means those that are in authority is seeing it also. And they're doing absolutely nothing about it. Why? Because they are a part of it. You go to court, the judge, the clerk, everybody in there is a part of it. They know what's going on. They know it's police brutality. They know the cops escalate stuff just because. They know that it's an uneven number of black people. This is not surprising. They know what they're doing. It is a part of the plan to totally annihilate us. This is what they want to do. We need to get it through our head that this is what's going on and accept the fact and decide to do something about it. As long as we kissy-kissy, nicey-nicey and want to hold hands and da-da-da-da-da-da, our problem is that we're too quick to forgive. We too quick to want to just, let's just all get along, let's just all, a higher standard. They don't look at it as taking the high road. They look at it as weakness.
And then you got a population of black people, so-called conservative Republicans or conservative, whatever they think they are, that get on social media trying to be an influencer, trying to get 100,000 likes or 100,000 subscribers so they can make a couple of dollars, and they will say anything. Candace Owens, they will say anything. This Tom Jones, police officer, retired police officer. You got people out there. You got black people out there. Anything. Oh, all of a sudden now, this black attorney from South Carolina can't hardly speak English. Don't know what the fuck he's talking about. All of a sudden now, he's a Fox News contributor because he's saying, when DeSantis said that there was benefits in slavery, he didn't mean this. He got to read the whole thing. But he never brought the damn thing to read. Why don't you read the damn thing so we can see the whole story? And don't know what the hell he's talking about. And they bring on these people. They bring on these coons and coonsettes. They bring them on, and Mrs. Faulkner from Fox and Friends, this black lady that's a journalist, and she's married to a white man, and all she does is sit there and just support everything Marjorie Taylor Greene says, everything Hannity and Tucker Carlson, and she just spills that bull crap. She pushes it. So you have a lot of black people out there for a couple of dollars, mm-hmm. all right, mm-hmm. for a moment of fame, for
always,
a little position,
always.
And I guarantee you, all these people, y'all going to see them like that black attorney, I forgot his name, from South Carolina. Eventually, you're going to see him. He's going to have his own talk show, okay, talking bull crap. So you got those people out there that support this nonsense, and so white people who were probably in between the middle, not supporting the left or the right, start saying, oh, well, maybe they're right, you know, because white people are looking for, white America are looking for some kind of way to make slavery into a birthday party. They're trying to suit it over. Oh, it wasn't that bad, you know, like the little white girl influencer talking about, oh, they were happy. Yeah, why don't you get your ass and be a slave and see how happy you would be? You understand? Well, your opinion, I told a white guy, I said, he's my, well, slavery, that, that, that. So let me explain something to you. Why you guys in Europe, y'all had indentured servitude? At least y'all was paid at the end of the year. After you don't deducted your lodging, your food, your clothes, your shoes, and every damn thing the man gave you, he deducted everything. And then he probably gave you 10, 25 cents and say, you can go on to the next work, you're going to the next person if you want to, you can stay and continue. And I said, why did they got rid of that? Why did Europeans got rid of indentured servitude? Because it was illegally punishing people from being poor and being misfits and being, you know, not educated. And you know what I'm saying? And so all your Europeans got together and y'all fought against indentured servitude. And slavery is much 100% worse than that. So how in the hell something that's paying you and you're not being beat every damn day and you have your freedom, how can something worse than that be better? You know what I'm saying? So what the hell are you people talking about? So you can see the nonsense and you can see the people that spread these nonsense, they get paid. All of these rich people, the Koch brothers, they're pushing a narrative. Elon Musk is trying to push a narrative. Bill Gates is trying to push a narrative. Bezos is getting involved in the bullshit. He's trying to push a narrative. These people got crazy money, y'all, and they'll pay people to do their bidding because these people want to control society. They're tired, according to them. Oh, I'm driving down to my $14 million mansion, and I got to pass all this poverty and debris and dirty and drug addicts and alcoholics and run up to my car and begging me for money. They just prefer not to have, and they think it's minority people causing all this ill, but they should go look at Milwaukee, Des Moines, Iowa, where these people on methamphetamine, they're on the streets. Ain't nobody saying a damn thing about them. I saw a little white boy the other day on YouTube. His skin is stuck to his pants because he haven't changed it in 10 fucking years. And he's only 19 years old, y'all. Okay? His skin is, when he tried to roll up his pants to show the brother, the black man was interviewing him. The guy started to cry. He said, you're only 19 years old. His face is being eaten up by methamphetamine and crystal meth and fentanyl and all the stuff that he's putting in his body. I felt sorry for him. I don't give a damn he's white. He's a child. He's somebody's child. He's a human being, and he's living like that. His clothes, you can see his clothes was white, and they're so black, they look black. This is the kind of stuff that's going on in Des Moines, Iowa, and Milwaukee, those states where they're 85 to 90% white. And y'all can see it on YouTube. They stand in, it's like the guy drove, the black guy driving. He said, let me show y'all something. He drove through Milwaukee. He said, look, this is like freaking Walking Dead movie. The people sleeping on the streets. They dancing in the middle of the streets and rent cars. Their mind is gone. No white person that's spooning all this bull crap about black people ever talk about those conditions. That's why y'all, they run and talk about, oh, we have a fentanyl problem. We have a methamphetamine problem. We have to know. We don't have it. Y'all got it. Because black folks don't take methamphetamines and crystal meth and all that stuff. Now, these kids might get fentanyl through that smoking that marijuana, that synthetic marijuana they buying, or whatever that marijuana with all them different colors and flavors and craziness because they're trying to entice young kids to get on it. They might get some of that stuff on that, but as far as taking it directly, like these white boys are pushing into their heroin needles and they're shooting themselves up, you got to look at, you would be surprised if you look at some of these states, 80%, 90% white states, where they got these drug addicts on the corner. And ain't nobody saying a damn thing. White people just walk by, not complaining, not putting it on social media, not saying a damn thing about it. You understand? But as soon as the black person say, yell out in the street, they're going to start filming. Oh, see, like this white man called himself filming this fighting between some white kids and some black kids. And he said, this is what happens when black people move into your neighborhood. And even white people got on the YouTube to dismiss him. They said, first of all, Mister, 19, I count 18 kids that are white. And there's about 7, 8, or 9 black kids. So what are you talking about? But this kind of bullshit that they push, y'all. This kind of ignorance they push, and we buy into the crap because why? Ain't nobody looking at the statistics. Ain't nobody looking at the facts. You can say anything. You look at these programs. You can say anything about African Americans you want. Nobody's going to ask you about a damn statistic. Nobody's going to ask you about facts. Nobody's going to ask you where you got it from. The only person I seen that lost his job, my hat off to the brother, love the brother, Don Lemon. When that Vivek Ramaswamy tried to talk about the Civil War was fought to help black people get guns so they can, and the Second Amendment was help black people get guns so they can be free. He said, listen, you're talking silly. It didn't, that wasn't reason for the Civil War. He don't know the fuck war he's talking about. He said, first of all, then he started telling them, oh, black people should do this and this and this. He said, first of all, let me tell you something. You can't tell me, as a black man living in this skin for 50-something years, what I faced. You just got here yesterday. And then the program director was in his, because they wear these earphones, were telling him, go to commercial, don't say nothing. He said, no, hold on a minute, I'm not finished. They fired Don Lemon. They fired him because of that. But he stood up. Fuck y'all. He told the guy the damn directors in his ear, go to commercial. Don't talk to him like that. Don't say that. Dolliman say, no, I'm not finished yet. Hold on a minute. Let me tell you something. He told him point blank. If you ever get a chance to go to YouTube and watch that, just where Don Lemon got fired, you know, for Vivek. Mm-hmm. You go watch it. Vivek is happy now. Vivek going around talking about, yeah, I got Don Lemon fired, you know. But Don Lemon say, fuck him. You know what? You're not going to sit here and tell me as a black man what I face. You ain't face shit. You just can't. You come in here to taste the glory. He said, you got here, you everything that you get and everything that you got is because of people suffered. Don't you understand that? Before you got here, and that's the bullshit I don't like about a lot of these foreigners. They come and they act like, you know, like they were there when everything happened. No, you came on an airplane. You came by choice. You got up one morning and looked across the river and saw America and say, I'm coming to go there to get a school, a job, a house, a car. I told a guy the other day, talking bull crap. I said, bro, let me tell you something. This Armenian guy trying to talk about, oh, black Americans ain't this. They ain't work. They don't do this. Let me tell you something. First of all, you came here for a soda, a sandwich, and shelter. And once you got that, you were blown out. Your mind was gone. You kissed dirt. You kissed doo-doo on the ground of America because they gave you a soda, a sandwich, and shelter. I ain't come for that. I ain't come for that, brother. I've been here longer than that, and I know better. So don't come here yesterday acting like you know something. I'm Armenian. My mother was on welfare. My father was a drug addict. Alcoholic, whatever he said, and my father couldn't keep a job. I don't give a damn about that. Your father came in a situation where they gave him medical, they gave him welfare, okay, they gave him food stamps, they gave your mama medical, they gave your mama food stamps, gave you food stamps. Y'all got taken care of. My people ain't get all that. Black people are nothing. People don't realize that black people ain't got no welfare until about the 60s, late middle 60s or something. When they first came out, the social was social program they had to call it. That was for white people. President, right. Whoever he was at the time, he didn't make that for black people. Roosevelt, whoever the hell it was, he didn't make that for black people. He was trying to take care of white people. We never got anything from this damn country. How can we get anything until 1957? It wasn't illegal. They amended the Constitution to say it's legal for black people to read and write.
How about
1957,
that?
Y'all.
How about that?
1957. People that have been born in 1957 still alive, and people that was around in 1957 still alive. You understand what I'm saying? So how can people act like all of a sudden now, like America, you know, yeah, America did something for you. They got your behind out of the situation you was in, but it's different from me. But don't come here, and I love Don Lemon for that. Like he told him, don't come here and try to write my narrative. Don't come here and try to write my story. You don't know what the hell. First of all, you sound stupid. You know, just screwing out shit that you don't know about. You know, I always tell people point blank, you can't tell me shit about America. I lived this stuff. I lived it. So anybody can tell me nothing. Keep your shit to yourself. Whatever you feel, keep it to yourself, because Ron Robinson do not want to hear it. It's at the point now where we got to stop allowing people coming and telling us what we should do, what we cannot do, what we could have done, what it should have, could have. Listen, brother, this is past tense now. We're talking about 400 years done past. Now you got an idea? If all the people that came with ideas were that good, trust me, we'd be in a better position than we are right now.
So something ain't right
in the pot. Dig where I'm coming from? So, and plus the fact, let me tell you, you know, nothing against immigrants, especially these Chinese people. Let me tell you something, Chinese people, because y'all say y'all smart. But the Chinese man who wrote this bill to get rid of the affirmative action because he felt black people getting an advantage over him, and if Chinese people have more opportunity, there'll be 43% of all the Ivy League colleges and universities with Chinese people. Well, number one, mister, you probably smart, but you're dumb because you're only 3% of the population. So how in the hell are you going to be 43%? How in the hell are you going to be 43% of the people in the college and universities? Impossible. Via your numbers. And all of y'all ain't that smart. A lot of y'all just working in them greasy spoon restaurants and working wherever these Chinese people put y'all when y'all come over here. Second of all, he said, Chinese people study 7 days, 16 hours a day. Now, y'all think about this. If you're smart, and I've been to all the colleges, universities, I've studied ASAC and SAC-A and all these exams and did all that stuff. I never studied 16 hours a day, seven days a week on a subject matter. If you're smart, you don't take that much time. You have to be the dumbest man in the world, woman in the world, to have to study 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. If any of my kids would sit 7 days a week and 16 hours a day studying, I'm going to find out what's wrong with them, because you need a balanced life. Go out and play basketball. Go out and date a girl. Go to the movies. Have a social life. That's why you Chinese people out your goddamn mind. Maybe because you're studying 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and y'all ain't got no life. Get a goddamn life. Maybe y'all spend your 7 days a week, 16 hours a day in them damn greasy spoon restaurants, working. Maybe that's the problem. Get you a social life. Black people have a social life. It don't take that much. Young black kid, 11 years old black kid, got the highest IQ in the world. Nobody ain't talking about that. He's getting ready to go to graduate school level. Nobody talking about that. Another young black kid, 9 years old, just graduated high school, going into college to study forensic medicine. Very intelligent. Nobody talking about that. And as you go on and on and on and on, you watch these YouTube, all these young black kids, geniuses. But who do they promote as the geniuses? The Chinese, the Orientals, the Asians, the white kids, and the Indians. Chinese, Indians, and whites. That's what America pushed at the geniuses. All these young black kids out here. One man got five kids from the ages of 9 to 17. The 17-year-old is in graduate school. The 15-year-old is in undergrad. The 13-year-old is in a bachelor's program in junior college. The 10-year-old, he's graduating and he's going into his first year of junior college. Five of his kids, African American. Ain't nobody saying nothing about that. See, they always talk about the bad statistics. The bad statistics, oh yeah, they're only 13 population, they know that. But nobody talks about the fact that we got more millionaires than anybody. We're the only group of people that got kids under the age of 16 years old that made $1 million on their own. We have 10 of them. You can go to, and people think I'm lying, go to YouTube and just put that in there. We have 10, 16 and under year kids that didn't come from wealthy families, didn't have a rich uncle, had no connections to nothing. And they coined their craft. They put their product and services out there. And now they're making millions of dollars a year. Before the age of 16, y'all, that's the genius of where we come from. That's the genius of Africans. Another thing they don't talk about is Africans and level of intelligence and human capacity. We are 9. Animals are at 5 and 6. Europeans are at 6. Their intelligent level is the level of an animal. Our intelligent level is human. Is at the human being structure. We are highest level of intelligence. That's why they hate us, y'all. Young brother came on YouTube and said they hate us because they're envious of us. They're envious. People don't like it when you're successful. People don't like it when you move above them. They're so surprised when they look back at all the stuff we've been through. When these younger whites look back and they see all the hell. They know what the hell we've been through. They know about this slavery. They know about it. They read it. They see it just like all of us see all of us see it. But they're so damn surprised. How in the hell they live in this neighborhood? How in the hell their kids go to that college? How in the hell that little boy, 9 years old, is so damn smart? How in the hell this 11-year-old kid got the highest IQ in the world? They don't understand it. Our success level, they understand it. And the one thing about it is, y'all, we got to understand something. Like Dr. Winborn say, we got to separate, because as long as we keep being successful, the more hatred we're going to experience. If we were not successful, I'm not saying we're not going to face the hatred, but we won't face it as much as we do because of they're trying to catch up, and they're very envious. And they can imagine if we had come here under indentured servitude, even that, we would have been far better off than they are.
far better off. And they know it. And they're scared of us. They're scared of us.
Right.
So our success is their fear. You know, brother Martin, what's his brother? Roland Martin wrote the book, Black Success, White Fear. And he's true. He's true. In his book, he states the statistics of how he states from the time that we were slaves to the time that we went to Emancipation Proclamation, the time we went to the Jim Crow laws, everything was cool. Even though as soon as we uprise against something, as soon as we rise and became professors and lawyers and doctors and so forth and so on, then the hatred started to build up and build up and build up and build up. Then the statistics of the FBI always say when the membership of the KKK increased between the late 1800s to the 60s and the 70s and the 50s. That's when the membership in the KKK started to increase. Why? Because black people were becoming successful, and they
to add to that is that the Tea Party, right? The Tea Party was started 90 days after Obama became elected.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
That's their reaction. So they put together a whole party based on racist ideas because there's a black man in the White House. When I got hit with that statistic, I was like, that is unbelievable. That is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Less than 90 days.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. They just can't, because they know their history, they know where they come from, they know historical facts about Europe and the empires,
right,
and the Roman empires and how everything was developed, and they know that they're not Irish people are still suffering under England, still right now today, for thousands of years. The English have been controlling the Irish, and the Irish are trying to get the English out of there, and now you got the Protestant Irish killing the Catholic Irish. And England is creating that war between the two sectors, and they know it, but they can't change that. You know, the Italians still in certain conditions over certain Roman over the Catholic Church have certain control over the Italians. That people think Italians are so happy to have the Catholic thing in Rome. No, they're catching hell. They're creating more mafia, and they're killing each other. So you got social ills in England. England is just destroying Wales, Scotland, and the surrounding countries that they're controlling under their dynasty, under the royal family, and how the royal family is destroying the UK, destroying England, and keeping certain controls and keeping certain prime ministers in position and doing what they want to do. So the English people are catching hell. The American people that derive from those people, they realize the condition that they're in, and they realize the level of success that we have achieved under the worst conditions any human being could ever face. And so, you know, it's crazy. But we have callers. I can open up the mics and let the callers contribute. So we're going to open up
912-655.
912-655, your mic is open. Hello. Can you hear? I don't know if they hear me.
I don't know. They sound engaged.
912-655, your mic is open. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So we got that.
Take a commercial, and then we come back and close it out.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, entertainment worldwide. Network. We on live. We in your speakers. Ain't on your mind. In the
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Wade. I sign on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peeps, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Miles.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Sell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB. Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy Size Money.
This your boy Big Chad Domingo.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog. This your boy J Futuristic.
This your folk Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end, getting blessings. Wise Life Records, and you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the State Criminal Court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of The Winning Team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join In the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
fashion is so seductive. Live.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
So Seductive Live has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so So Seductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour bookings, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
We are back.
All right, all right. Listen, I just want to remind everybody, because we're going to cut it short tonight. We're going to be ending about 8:30. But in our last few minutes, I want to, this Friday, I want to come on the Billionaires Work Club. And I want to talk about a program that I was introduced to for small businesses. Small and medium-sized businesses that's looking for cash infusion, some working capital, or some just some expansion money. There's a program that I found out about, I'm excited about, and I think it will be beneficial for a lot of businesses. Easy to qualify. So if you've been turned down by other banks, if you've been turned down by other lending sources, this Friday I'm going to be on. I'm bogarting my way in, Dr. Robinson. I'm going to be on the Billionaires Club. That's the name, right? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, the Black Businessmen. The Black Business Billionaires Network Club. There you go.
That's a whole lot of B's.
I forget it some. Thank God it ain't a B.
Listen, And we're going to talk about this program. So, again, I'm inviting you to come. And if you got friends, relatives, anybody that's got a business, a company that's, you know, having some struggles, you're in business, and I got a source where we can get them done just by with the bank statement. So we're going to talk about that in some detail, but we want everybody to tune into that and come be a part of that. I think it's good. I think it's good enough to break out of my schedule to begin to introduce it to people and to come on and begin to talk about it, because I've been around for a long time. I'm sure that when we get into it and some nuances and some things that we, you know, we find out that still need to be done. However, but if you got a business, you're operating, you can show your bank statements and you're meeting some of the minimum requirements in there, you can get some money to help you expand your operation. So this Friday at 7 o'clock, same station, Black Business Billionaire Club.
Don't forget, people, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. And if you say that long enough, it's a 10-ton twister. And I is from South Carolina. If I can say it, I know y'all can say it. I know y'all can say it now. Come on now, y'all. Ain't it something? I'm telling you. I don't know. You know, I'm like, well, how, Ron, why the hell, you know, you know, you from South Carolina and people got their kids named Chakota, you know? And you're like, what the hell going on? Why y'all get a regular name, you know? But right, people, right. We got the African American Independence Day. We fighting to bring people together. We're trying to develop some social programs, some centers. The Black Business Billionaire Network Club. We're trying to, you know, we got funding for Ruffin Services and Sons. He's a funeral home and manufacturer of caskets and stuff that in Alabama. And, you know, he had an opportunity to expand his company and hire more people and whatnot and get things going. So we're looking to do more of that Black Shark Tank that we talked about before, where we're going to, if your business has an opportunity to expand and help open up doors, we're looking for you, sir and ma'am, to reach out. And, you know, it's about we have to get control. And what Dr. Winborn is doing is fantastic, because we got to get control of our finances. We have to be able to manufacture, develop careers, and offer our people an alternative. See, it's one thing, and I've been saying this for years, we have so much knowledge of what the concerns are, and we have some of the greatest minds in the world out of the African-American community over the 100-something years, or 200 years, that developed and did so many things. And we should have took some of that stuff and we should have been gone by now. I forgot his name, but y'all know the brother that had Beatrice Corporation, had wrote the book, Why the White Boy Should Have All the Fun. Tremendous. Say it again.
Johnson, the other one, the younger fellow with the afro and gap in his tooth.
He died young of cancer, but this brother developed Beatrice Corporation, which is a manufacturing, distributing of food, and he had supermarkets and stuff like that. And he's actually, according to statistical facts, he's the first billionaire African-American in that time frame. And so, and we, you know, we have millionaires after slavery.
The book was like, Why Do White Boys Have All the Fun, or something like that, right?
Right. Exactly. That's it. It's Mitchell. I think the name was Mitchell something.
That was a long time
ago. It's a great book.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Way back in the late 70s and 80s. But the brother just wrote an ingenious description, diagram, if you will, of how to be successful, because we got to take control of our economy. We have to start offering jobs to our people. We have to start manufacturing products and services and exporting and importing in Africa and the Caribbean. There's so much opportunities, you know. Even when I went to DR, I saw so many things that opened up, so many opportunities that's there, and so many things that people could do and whatnot. And, you know, and I happen, you know, full disclosure, I happen to have a son there who opened my eyes up to some stuff as well. So he's a performer, y'all, you know, good looking like me, performs, you know. I'm just kidding. But got to talk to him a little bit, try to unite, haven't seen him for 25 years, but we try to reconnect, and he was telling me some things, what's going on as well. But I'm just saying that opportunities are there, and people, everywhere you go, people are looking for the African-American community to come and develop and help, whether it's DR, Brazil, you know, Caribbean countries or Africa, wherever you go, you know, brothers and sisters that are in this place in different places, they're looking for us to come and help. But the same token, we need to develop a strong arm here where we control our economy. Where, you know, brothers and sisters don't have to worry about if I say something, you know, in the workforce, if somebody abuses me and I write them up, or if I go back at them, look at all these people getting fired. Black people getting fired like it's nobody's business right now. As soon as somebody abuses them or call them a nigger or say something wrong to them, and they write the person up, or they bring it to the attention of the administration or the management of their companies, they're getting fired for it. So if we can't hire our people and, you know, have our own companies, we can hire our people where we can be sufficient, because the best workforce in America, trust and believe, it's the African American workforce, the best workforce.
Reginald
we
Lewis.
Do everything.
The guy's name was Reginald Lewis. Now that I'm thinking about it, just gave
Reginald Lewis. That's it. Reginald Lewis, beautiful brother. Right. If you ever get a chance, y'all, go look at the book. Also, go to YouTube and look at Reginald Lewis' life. He was a brother, came from poverty. I believe he lived from Chicago. And single parent home, but the brother was ingenious, and he worked his money, and he became so very successful. It's a good pattern. Matter of fact, you know, he's a mentor to me. You know, just a real, I got to meet him years ago. Just a beautiful brother. I mean, he, you know, some people when they're successful, they're tight-lipped it. When they meet somebody, they don't know you from Adam House Cat. They tight-lipped it. But this brother opened up to us. And like, yeah, man, what you want to do? You know what I'm saying? He was just so open and so willing to teach us what he knows. And that's very rare in people that are successful. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people successful willing to teach you or to open themselves up to you just because you're another black man.
Right.
Unless they know you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But this brother was the type of brother, when he met you, you felt like he was like Kobe Bryant. The way everybody said about Kobe Bryant was such a warm person and just opens up and real honest. He was that kind of person. You know, he opened up and he'll tell you, you know, what the deal is and try to get you to help you be successful. You know, that type of thing. And that's what we have to get to, that point where we're willing to share information and help other brothers and sisters, especially young brothers and sisters, come to their own, because they're the ones being attacked. Our young folks are being attacked because they're the next one in line to take on this this monster in the U.S.
Right.
And so we have to prepare them. You know, our 19 years old, 17. A brother said something on the radio Friday night. It hit me, made a lot of damn sense. He said, catch the children at 2 and 3, 1, 2, and 3, and 4 and 5. And he said, why did I say that? And nobody had the answer. He said, I said that because that's when they're most susceptible to receive information. And whatever they learn at that age, it will stay with them up until their teens and their adult ages. And so that makes a lot of sense. I'd like to throw that out there as well. Let's catch our – tell your little three-year-old grandson, he's a prince. He come from royalty. Throw that in his head. He's great. I tell my grandkids, you know, you're great, even though they ain't all that great. You know, and my youngest grandson, he's running around like he's crazy. But I said, you're great. You're good. You know, you're going to be somebody. You know, throw that into their head, because they might not be listening. You might feel like they're in another world. But they listen. They listen. Right. Because I watch my grandson. He can tell you the wheels on the bus go round and round ever since he was 1 year old. And he didn't forget that. So if he can remember the wheels on the bus going round and round, he can remember your royal priesthood, you come from greatness, you're going to be somebody. And so that brother you know, he threw that in, out there, and that's great. You know, get the kids while they're young.
Right. Well, that's good stuff. That's all good stuff. Well, listen, you know, we come to the bottom of the hour now, and we're going to close it on out. We thank everybody for listening, for tuning in, those that have called into the studio, those that are listening out over all of your devices. We thank you for tuning in. We actually tune back in on next Sunday evening. Back, and we'll be back with your host, the wonderful Sadie Gomez and the Woman's Auxiliary. And we promise you, you won't have to put up with Dr. Robinson and myself. But now look, don't forget Friday. Friday, tell everybody to call in Friday. We got something big going
same
on.
Same number,
Friday.
Same time.
Same number, same time.
Y'all going to make some money, y'all. You're going to make that money. More money. You tell black people more money, they know that is.
Yeah. I know that's right. So let's hope everybody be there so we can talk about getting more money. All right, we're going to take it on out, brother. Let's see if we can get Brother Hezekiah so we can make it better.
There you go. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come. People go. Your life has been out of control. You're confused. But don't worry.
Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Ah.
gotta get better.